say, it's certainly great to be back again this evening. We've had a real excellent first day. We've been able to get out into the community and talk to some of the neighbors, and I see some of them here. It's good to have you. It's always a joy to be able to get together and to study God's Word and to spend time in His kingdom, working and striving to further that kingdom. I believe we must be very careful to keep it in our mind and keep it in our life, always striving to reach out and teach those that are lost, because we live in a world that most people are lost. And most of those people don't have any clue. They do not understand. They do not think about it. All they do is go about their everyday lives. In my work in Newton, I have found that there's a lot of those people that if you just sit down with them and share the gospel message with them, they'll say, "Wow, I should have been a member of the Lord's church." Guys, we live in a world that people do not know. They live ungodly lives, doing things that they've been oftentimes brought up to do that are so ungodly, and they don't even think about it. It's our job to get out there and strive to teach them the things that are right, helping them to know and to understand and to make changes to their lives, setting an example for them to show them the way. Guys, they need to see Jesus living in us. They need to see the love of the family. I know where I work, I quite often don't even invite people to services because they don't see any need for it. I just take the opportunity to sit down and to study God's Word with them. It's kind of exciting. I work in a congregation. My wife and I are the only two that have been Christians more than 4.5 years. And so many of our Bible classes and times where we get together are just filled with lots and lots of questions. They're wanting to know what it is they're supposed to be doing. I've seen the hurt in their eyes when they find out something else that they're doing that they did not realize that God tells them they are to do differently or to not do at all. Oftentimes leaving out things that they should be doing that they haven't been doing. It's exciting to see them to study God's Word, to see what the words that are in the text and what they say and how it applies to their life. So many of those things they don't know. They have not understood. They haven't really come to grips with the fact that God gives us everything we need to know in His Word. And it's such a joy to be able to teach those individuals. It's such a joy to be able to sit with people a day after you baptized them and listen to them tell you how they was able to go to sleep last night with not caring if they didn't wake up because they knew they was going home. Guys, we all need to be out teaching the lost, helping them to understand that message because they're lost without it. It's kind of exciting as I teach these people that their Word of God promises that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. And as we look at the lesson for this evening, that's one of the things that, we don't really stop to consider that God gives us direction on all the things that we do. Often, as we look at this lesson, the title of it is The Other 90%, and the allusion is to the fact that Abraham gave 10% of all back to God. And as we look at that and consider that 10%, we need to understand that there's a lot of people that can't imagine giving 10% because they say, "Where would I get that much? I wouldn't be able to live." And the problem is they don't stop to look at the things that God says about how to use the other 90. I believe as a Christian, 10% is a good starting place. We've got something so much better than the Jews had. In fact, we've got something I believe so much better than Abraham had. We've got Christ. And I believe that we should at least begin at that starting point. But I tell you what, for new Christians that have been in the world all of their lives, they do not understand that. Unfortunately, I've known many Christians that have been Christians for many years and still don't understand giving a mere pittance to God. Sometimes that's simply because we don't know how to use the rest of what we use for ourselves. Go to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, we have a parable that Jesus told us that has to do with an individual that was quite blessed. His ground gave a whole lot of produce, and he decided what to do with that produce. Beginning in verse 16 of Luke 12, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, I got it. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But you know what? God had a response to that, did he not? It says in verse 20, "But God said to him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And then in verse 21, he explains what he's saying. This is the whole moral of the story. Basically, it says, "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Guys, God has given us some instruction in His Word that teaches us that we must be very careful about how we use what we have. And often in this country, we live among our neighbors, and a lot of times we all have about the social economic class, and so we all think that we're all poor. Have you ever noticed somebody that had a lot more money than you that thought they were rich? They all thought they were poor too, didn't they? And those that had less than you do, they think you're rich. And they don't understand that they're rich. You know what that does to the rest of us? It makes us all pretty rich, doesn't it? I don't think I really understood that until I spent a lot of time in Jamaica. Or how about Africa? We look at the individuals that live in some of these other areas of the world and we realize that we are pretty wealthy. And so we need to understand that God is going to hold us accountable for the way that we use what we don't give to Him. And that's exactly what's going on here. He used all of that rest, and it doesn't say that he didn't say he didn't give to God. It just said he wasn't rich toward God. We need to make sure that we follow some good guidelines. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. And this passage is not talking about this, but the application is there, and I believe very clear. The Apostle Paul is talking about stewards of the mysteries of God. And he said in verse 2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Well, he's making a general statement. And in essence, God has blessed you and I with what we have. Every penny, everything, every blessing. They come from God. And when God says in that passage that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, He's telling you and I that we must make sure that we use the blessings that God has given us. Did you notice that He said it is required? You know, at Newton, we look at all of those little words. A lot of times we get on some of these verses, and because they don't have a lot of the background that many others do that have been maybe members of the church for many years, they want to know about all of those words. They want to see what those words mean. Because every one of those words have meaning, and you and I better be very, very careful to make sure that we look at the words. These that overlook them, no wonder we get going in the wrong direction sometimes. Because we don't look at the words that God has put within the text. God says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so you and I need to understand that we must be careful with the use of all that we have. I want to look at some essentials for a few minutes. Now, understandably, those things that are needs and those things that are wants have changed over the years. There was a survey, and I don't remember the survey, but it was over a period of about 50 years. And when that survey was first taken, there were several things that were really that considered needs, and then you had a great big list of wants. Many years later, that survey was taken again of the general population, and it was found that there's a whole big list of needs and just a few wants. In other words, our attitude changes to what we actually need and things that we just want, we would like to have. And so we must be very careful of that. Some of the things that are essentials are food and clothing and shelter. Those definitely are things that we need in our life. In our age of computer gadgets, there's a lot of things that are needs, are they not? At least we think that they are. You know, nowadays we need a cell phone, right? And probably just about everybody here has a cell phone. But that's really not a need. But we class it as that. But food and clothing and shelter are things that are essentials, and we need those things. You know, we need to stop and consider how good we have it today. Go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And I want to notice some things that God had to say about the way people were to be paid in this time. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, notice what it says. It says, "Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee." You notice that the situation at this time was dire enough that when somebody worked the day, they needed to have their day's wages at the end of the day. We can't even imagine that. You know? I can remember going to a place to preach in northern Missouri, and they said, "How often do you want to get paid?" Well, I didn't say daily. I said, "Well, you know, I've been paid for years every week, so just go ahead and do that." I moved up to Iowa, and they said, "We pay once a month." I said, "Okay, whatever." You know, and so, but you know, at this time, they were getting paid at the end of the day. Tell you what, that's cutting it close. Guys, we need to understand how blessed we actually are. And if that doesn't really sink in, why don't you go with me to Jamaica in January, okay? And spend some time with some of the people down there. See some of the struggles that they have and the difficulties that they undergo. You'll come back a changed person. So we have it so good. You know, we need to understand when it comes to essentials, God tells us very clearly that we don't even need to worry about them things. You know the passage in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I tell you what, those things that He's talking about are the needs of life. The food that you eat. We worry about having enough money to pay for the cell phone. What about that new car payment? What about all that big screen TV? You know, it amazes me. I live in a town that Maytag went out about 5 years ago, and there's a lot of people on unemployment and welfare in Newton, Iowa. But it was amazing to me at Christmas time how many TVs went through the doors of Walmart. I couldn't believe it. These new gadgets that got great big price tags, and they just come in and they block out the door with all these brand new TVs, and they keep bringing more in, they keep going out. Where are they getting all this money? Well, they must have a lot of money. They're getting it from somewhere. Guys, God promised that if we will seek Him first, He'll take care of the needs, but He didn't say anything about the wants. Well, He did say some things about the wants. And you know, and I, as well as I do, that He blesses us pretty well with those wants. And I'm glad that He does. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. But I think that it's important that we keep things in perspective of what is a need and what is a want. You know, many times, guys, we believe that essentials are that the things that we want are actually essentials. And so as we stop to consider about how we're going to use that other 90%, we must be very careful to make sure that we think properly about what really is a want and what is a need. Because what happens, we come up to the end of the week and we come to Sunday and we say, oh, well, I don't have enough left. I done went out and bought a big screen TV. Laid down $1,000. And my billfold's empty. So let's see if I got some change here. I don't think that's a proper use of the other 90%. And I don't believe that God does either. Well, there's several things that we need to look at. One is payments. You know, God actually has some things to say about interest in His Word. I want to flip back over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now, in this particular context, I believe in my study and looking at this that there are two different aspects of it. One is usury and the other is interest. And both things are spoken of in the Word of God. But in this context, He's talking about usury, and so, but we'll make some applications here. In Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brethren." Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. "Unto a stranger thou may lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thy hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Charging interest is something that has been going on for many years. Leviticus chapter 25 is another passage that goes into this. Let's flip over there and look at that one. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 35 through 37. Leviticus chapter 25, starting in verse 35. It says, "And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen into decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though if he be a stranger or sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase." You notice here it's talking about some essentials. As we look at the Bible, we notice that God does talk about the aspect of interest. And I think as we look around in our society, we can see very clearly that easy credit is a big trap. Have you noticed what's happened to the housing market since 2007? You noticed all the houses with those little white pieces of paper in the window? You got one down the street here. I saw it when we were knocking doors this afternoon. You know what that white piece of paper means in the window? That means that somebody, for some reason, got overextended in what they owed. And the bank came back and they took it away from them. Those little plastic things that you carry in your pocket called a credit card. Man, it's so easy to run them things up. You get two of them and this one gets maxed out, so you go get the next one and you start charging more interest. Well, you know what? As we look at some of the guidelines that God has given us, we can see that it's not a real good trap to get into. I would place a credit card in the category of usury. The only difference is with the credit trap of today is we're not doing it because we're desperate. We're doing it because we want more. And we're willingly forcing ourselves to pay usury and blowing God's good money that He's blessed us with on many things. There are definitely some necessary things that it would be good for Christians. There's nothing wrong with Christians to get credit and to have payments. We need a house, and there's not too many people that can have a house without making payments, is there? Not very many. And so if we want to have a place to live that we want to call our own, we're going to probably have to get a loan. If we want a car, the most of us end up going out and getting a loan on that car. And you know what? Those things that in today's society, it'd be awful hard to go back to the horse and buggy. And they're not cheap either. Talk to some of the Amish people and find out how much they spend on keeping a horse and a buggy up. And so there are things that are necessary payments, but then there are things that are unnecessary that drains the money that we have that we should be using for good purposes in serving the Lord so that we can have to give to God. Remember those TVs that I talked about? A lot of interest is paid out for television sets. What about this pleasure that we get involved in? A lot of times people they'll spend all kinds of money on pleasure. They want nice vacations. They want those nice things, those fine clothing and that wonderful rings and jewelry. And they put it on credit and they pay interest for it. What about our toys? Man, you know, there's the children's toys. And the children's toys used to be pretty cheap. We were talking to somebody today as we were knocking doors and they had two children out there playing in one of those motorized little Jeeps that they were driving around. And they rode around in it for just a couple minutes and they got off and played with the box. And she said, you know what? They like the box better than they do the Jeep. Well, I understand that. But we go out and we find these toys and we buy them and we put them on credit. And you ladies kind of tease once in a while. I don't think you're teasing. But anyway, say that you can tell the age of the boy by the price of the toy. I'm going to tell you something, men and women. We need to make sure that our family does not suffer because of our entertainment. I believe that on the day of judgment, that's going to be kind of like the rich man that we read about in Luke chapter 12. And I don't believe that the Lord's going to be very happy of us if we spend a lot of money on toys and we leave the Lord out. I'm going to tell you, I believe that the best thing to do is to determine, number one, what you're going to give to God. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2? It says, as you have prospered. We need to decide ahead of time what we're going to give to God. And then when we decide about what kind of a house that we're going to buy and how big that payment's going to be, we got to stop and think first if that fits into what we prospered and how much we have prospered or determined to give to God. And if it's too much, we don't buy it. Or I believe we'll give an account for it. What about that new car? What about that television set? Is that going to cut into what we give to God? What about that trip that we want to take? Is that going to cut into what we give to God? Guys, if it does, be advised that on the day of judgment, we're going to have to give an account for the way we use what we have. We must be very careful. I want to tell you about an alternative to credit. And I tell you what, I've got a lot of older people here, and I know that you all have learned this and through the years and probably have got it figured out. But a lot of our younger people do not understand in any way, shape, or form, because a lot of times parents in our society have decided that their kids are going to have everything that they never had. And so consequently, they don't know anything about managing their money. But there is an alternative to credit. And it is an alternative that makes it so that you have a whole lot of extra spendable money. And you won't have to slight God, or actually yourself, in not giving as you prosper. And it's quite simple. It's so easy. And that is that save your money a little bit of time and buy it instead of spending it now and paying interest on that money. I'm going to tell you something. Those of that are older and have done a lot of that have found that they've gone a lot further and they haven't had to say, well, I don't know if I got enough to give to God this week. I believe that God teaches that in His Word. You know, I don't think we stop to consider all of the advice that God gives us in the Bible about how to use what you've got. There's an awful lot there. Not to mention, if you take that money and put it in a savings account, it's not very much right now. But I still pick up pennies. because they make dollars and they spend. One of the things that this does, it helps us to establish some priorities that I believe that God teaches that you and I have. When we will force ourselves to look at that doggy in the window and go home and put some pennies in our piggy bank to buy that doggy in the window, when we get enough money, it builds a lot of patience. Remember the passage in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4? Simple passage. It says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." You notice that when you go through struggles, it builds patience or endurance. As we force ourselves to hold back on things that we would like to have until we have sufficient to be able to purchase those things, it will build endurance. I'll tell you something else. Have you ever noticed that a kid will want a Christmas present and they'll want it and they'll ask for it and they can't wait to get it until they get it and they've played with it for 5 minutes. And then they don't want it anymore. Have you ever noticed that? I think in our society of such an abundance, we have forgotten that the fun is in the chase. We seem to think that the fun is into the having. And when we have it, it's not any fun anymore. I believe that God teaches us that as we go through the struggles, we need patience. And it will build patience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, we see here that we need to have willpower. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men or act like men, and be strong." I believe that he's telling us in that passage that we need to have sound discretion in our lives. We need to act like adults, not like children that just want to go out and get everything that they want. But it's so easy to do, isn't it? Because we live in a society of plenty. And we have a lot of toys. We need willpower to do that which we should. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, another passage, it says that, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We need to make sure that we build this strength. Now, there's many ways that we're doing that. I know as we look at this, we're looking at in an area of monetary things. But brethren, I'm not even touching on a lot of those scriptures this evening. I'm just looking at some basic principles that, as the Lord's church, that we need to know and to understand. I see it so clearly in our new Christians that have been used to all their life, they've never given to God. They've never had to lay aside. They just go out and spend what they've always had. But I see it a lot of times in people that have been Christians for many years. I see it in our young people that have oftentimes have not been taught the art of self-control and willpower. And then there's the aspect of sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Guys, there's just a lot of things we need to say no to. We quite frankly live in the land of plenty. We've got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of toys, all kinds of things to enjoy. Reminded of the passage that talks about all of the good things that were in Babylon. All of the animals and the delicacies and those great things. And I really believe that we live in a land like it. I sat down Saturday at noon to a wonderful meal of shrimp. And I haven't had that in years. But I'm reminded of the plenty that we enjoy. You're so blessed. God teaches us that we need to know how to sacrifice. Sometimes maybe we should just give up on some of those things that we would like to have and use what we've been blessed with to help somebody else that's less fortunate than ourselves. And that's kind of tough in our society because we live in a society that the government just says, here, just let me throw you some money. You know, and we've got people, I walk in homes and probably many of you have done the same thing. They call up the Lord's church and they say, oh, we just don't have enough money to pay our electric bill this month, and they're going to cut it off if we don't get some money. We go down and visit them, don't we? We sit down across the table from them. The great big old tray of cigarette butts. Three bags of potato chips, half eaten, laying around. About 50 cans of pop. Alcohol. And we wonder why they don't have any money for their electric bill. No, we don't wonder because we know why. They've misused the other 90%. We've got a society that doesn't know anything about sacrifice. We must be prepared to sacrifice in our life. When we will force ourselves to wait to make a purchase until we can save that money, we're learning about sacrifice, and God commands it. We need to be careful to follow our Lord and to follow the things that what He has said. You know, in our day and age, entertainment is a major portion of Americans' expenses. In Proverbs chapters 18 and verse 9, it speaks to this. I tell you what, if you want to learn some things about this, just read through the book of Proverbs, because there's an awful lot there. It says in Proverbs 18 and verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. You notice that God also gives us instruction on how to run a good business. But here he's talking about a brother to a great waster. Somebody that does not take care of their business. Somebody that does not take care of the things that are at hand that they are in charge of. And we see this every day. We hear about businesses going out and we look into it and find out, oh, they didn't manage what they had. They wasted their substance on things that were wrong. What was it that the prodigal son did? He went out and wasted his substance on riotous living. And it wasn't long he got hungry because he ran out of money. And he woke up and said, oh no, I am going to have to make some changes. Well, you know what? We must take care to make sure that we are not a waster. You know, one of the things nowadays that we feel that are essential is cable and internet. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'll bet you just about every house here has it. I sat down with an individual in Newton not too long ago, and they were bouncing checks right and left, and they had, I don't know, $300, $400, $500 in overdraft charges just in 1 month. So one of the first things that we did was cut out about $100 and some a month of internet and cable. And then we cut off a couple cell phones. Then the home phone got cut off because they didn't have the money to pay the bill. We can spend a lot of money on entertainment. You know what? They've got rabbit ears in their house now. And they get about two or three channels, and that's plenty. It amazes me what some of our bills run up to in our society. Our entertainment is quite a bit. When we stop to consider our entertainment, we need to stop and consider first and foremost how much do we give to God. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 4, we learn that Abraham gave one-tenth of all to Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 4 says, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil. Too often I've seen individuals that smoke a couple thousand cigarettes a month, put a dollar in the collection plate. That's their entertainment. They go to the lake and spend about $50 on gasoline, not to mention how much the boat cost them, and then the expenses of getting there and the extra food. And then they put a dollar bill in the collection plate. Guys, our entertainment's costing us a lot of money. When we stop and think about entertainment, this includes the gas to do it, the joy, toys to enjoy it, and the ticket to get in. We are entertaining ourselves to death in this nation. It's no wonder we don't have time to talk to our neighbor about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? I think entertainment is a good thing. I enjoy entertainment with a lot of people in my community. But you know what? At the same time, I've got one goal in mind, and that is that I'm going to tear it through, do my best to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that you and I as Christians better be involved in our neighbor's lives. We better be there in their entertainment. We better be there when things are going on so that we can rub shoulders with them. But at the same time, we better be very careful about the use of our money, because I believe that it is easy to get into the wrong situation. So often the reason people balk at giving 10% to God, which I believe is a good starting place, is because they want too much entertainment. We must consider that. As we stop to consider about our entertainment, we need to ask a couple questions. Number one, is it godly? There's a lot of entertainment that's godly that could be ungodly if we do it improperly. Secondly, does it take you away from services? How many times have you known somebody that wasn't in services and you found out, oh, they went camping this weekend? Or they went to the lake. Another thing to ask, is it put before serving God? Now keep in mind, I made the mention of the fact that in our entertainment, we can do a lot of good. I've won souls just because I was involved in entertainment with that individual. Of course, a lot of that entertainment, I didn't even care for that entertainment. I was only there for one reason in the first place. In fact, it wasn't even fun to me. But I tried to enjoy it and went along and was able to teach. And so we need to make sure that we have a proper balance. We're about out of time. You know, as we stop and consider some of these things, and I know this is probably a different kind of a lesson, but I believe that it's one that is needed, because there is so much good that must be done in this world in which we live in. Good things that we could use our money for to help the Lord's work go forward. As we go about our lives, we need to make sure that you and I are stewards of what we have been given. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, and it says in that passage that as stewards we're required to be found faithful in the use of what we've been blessed with. Guys, when you stop and think about what you've been blessed with, it is everything that you possess. The clothes on your back, the car that you came with, the friends that you have, the money that you possess, the cars that you own, or the jobs that you're able to work, and the retirement that you're able to get every month so that you can continue to live and exist. All of those things are blessings from God, and you and I each are going to give an account of what we've been given. We must be very careful. We must remember the rich man who used all that he had and saved it up for himself and didn't put God first. Was not rich toward God, understanding that God said his soul would be required of him because of that poor choice. Guys, you and I are the rich man. We really are. We're the ones that have so much. We live in the land of plenty. So much to enjoy. So much to give an account of how we use. How do you plan on using what God has given you? How do you use it on a daily basis? Is God at the forefront of every purchase that you make? Whether it's money or time, whatever it is God at the forefront of that decision? And do you give to God first and foremost? God expects us to be good stewards. You know, even before that, God expects us to obey the gospel. God made that so easy. It is not difficult to obey the gospel. We just have a few verses that tell us some instructions of what we need to do to be saved. We recognize that he says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that faith is essential. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, you can't please God without faith. Pretty plain passage, it's pretty clear. We recognize then in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That means you've got to change your life. You read and you study the Bible, gains of faith, and as you read and study, you realize you're not doing everything you're supposed to be doing. And so God says change. The eunuch was studying the Bible, and then he said, I want to be baptized. What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you're mayest. And he made that good confession in the next verse. Remember that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he was baptized. Buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of his sins, not for some other reason. So easy to obey the gospel. Once we obey the gospel, we have the responsibility of continuing to live for the Lord. We've got to remember that He says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's before our pleasures and our desires. That's even before our needs. We read and we study and we learn the things that He has told us that we need to do. And we change our lives to be in line with what it says. This evening, have you obeyed the things that God has said that you must do to be saved? Are you a Christian? If you have, or if you have not, you need to change. If you have, are you living your life in a way that seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or is it something that sits on the back burner of your life? If that's your situation, you need to change. If there's anybody here this evening that would need to respond to the invitation, you need to do it now while we stand and while we sing.